All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is daf Lamed Gimel, one Lamed Beis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. Zecher Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. The special Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah has been the topic of our discussion. And the as opposed to regular Shmoneh Esrei is made up of 18 brachas, 19 brachas now, with the addition of Lamashanim, Laminim. But on Shabbos we take out all the middle brachas, and we insert just but one bracha in the middle for Kedushas Hayom. So on a regular Shabbos, you are with seven brachas, and the same thing would be true for Yantiv. But then for Rosh Hashanah, so there's a special unit of middle brachas on Rosh Hashanah, which is Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros, the Gemara quoted Psukim yesterday that arrived at the conclusion that there are these three special sections in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. And so therefore on Rosh Hashanah you have a totally unique scenario where it's not 18, 19 brachas, it's not seven brachas, but it's nine brachas are in the middle, nine brachas with the three of the beginning, the regular beginning, three of the regular end, and three unique brachas in the middle that make up the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. I will note the following. It's an accurate observation that in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara, it never mentions which Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah requires the nine brachas. Now, we all know, because we go to shul on Rosh Hashanah and we daven, so we all know it's Musaf. So, but I'm just noting, however, for the record, that the Mishnah and the Gemara never actually says it. It never says Musaf. We assume it's Musaf. So that happens to be subject to machlokas amongst the Rishonim, which Shmoneh Esrei requires the nine brachos. Rosh Hashanah is just seven. It's only on the Musaf that we do the nine. So why Musaf? So well, I'll explain later on. I'll give you a suggestion. The reason why it is that we only do it for Musaf, which will be pretty straightforward. It's nothing too fancy. Okay, and then Psukim. Before I get to the Psukim, yesterday's daf Lamed Beis. So we had a discussion in the Gemara in terms of where exactly do we put Kedushas Hayom, right? Kedushas Hayom kind of doesn't no longer fits in the Shmoneh Esrei, meaning you have the three regular beginning brachas, and then you have the three ending brachas, and then you have the three in the middle, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So where do you put Kedushas Hayom? So if you remember yesterday, that was a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, where exactly Kedushas Hayom is going to fit into this scenario, and we put it in the fourth bracha. Okay, but the good. Now we're up to the Psukim. Okay, Psukim. When you get to the middle section of the Shmoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, and you do Machio, so you say Psukim. How many Psukim do you say? So the answer is going to be 10. Well, that's not really the answer. The Gemara, first of all, the Mishnah yesterday quoted a machlokus between the Tanakama and Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in terms of how many should say. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that you only need to say a minimum of three Psukim in each section. Okay, but 10 is what you should strive for. Why don't you strive for 10 Psukim? As I mentioned yesterday, just quickly to reiterate today, in the good old days, davening Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, or for that matter, davening Nusach on Rosh Hashanah, was a little more extemporaneous than it is nowadays. Nowadays, we have a Siddur, we have a Machzer, we have a Nusach, so there's a script. In other words, the Shlich Tzibur is going up there and he knows what he's going to say because it's all written out for him. In the good old days, I don't know exactly when I'm describing, but in the good old days, sometime in the Gemara, for sure, so you got up for the Amud and the Shlich Tzibur, so he came up with Psukim. In other words, so he prepared, obviously. He wouldn't just go up there totally, blindsided, but he would go up there prepared, but he would choose from Tanakh 10 Psukim that deal with Machios, 10 Psukim that deal with Shofros, and 10 Psukim that deal with Zichronos. And that's how he would... And that's how we would order it. And as we learned yesterday, it'd be best if you had found 10 psukim. If you didn't find 10 psukim, so then you need a minimum of three. But that's what we discussed yesterday, that these psukim that you're quoting during the davening is not actually set in stone. And so over the course of the beginning of this morning, we're going to be learning that you got to know your Tanakh well. Okay. In other words, to be a Shlich Tzibur and not to have a machzer in front of you and to quote 10 psukim, 10 times 3 actually, 30 psukim. So you need to know Tanakh well. So the so that's it's kind of a prerequisite. Okay, so let's continue. We're on the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We're in the very bottom. Ein Mazkirin. Yeah, last two lines of the last two lines of the Daf of the Amud. Ein Mazkirin shall per Zichronos. Right. Yeah, a question of the girsa over here. So anyway, Ein Mazkirin Zichron Malchus V'Shofar Shel Peranios. Okay, anytime there's a mention in Tanakh of any of the sections, Zichronos, Machus, and Shofros, but it is bad, meaning it's in the context of the Pasuk, it's not good, so that the Shlech Sibur should not include in the Shemona Esrei. Maschel B'Torah, Maschel B'Navi, Rav Yosef, Omer, Mishnah B'Torah, Yatzah. So the where do you start? Meaning, so you start with Pesukim and Chumash, then you finished with Pesukim and Navi, meaning, as we know, Tanakh is broken up into three sections. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And as we'll see, so really the operative goal is to quote three Pesukim from Chumash, three Pesukim from Ksuvim, and three Pesukim from Navi. Okay, now that only gets you to nine. And then the Mishnah says, Rav Yosi Omri, Mishla B'Torah Yotze. If you conclude with Torah, you're Yotze. Okay, the language of the Mishnah is strange. It certainly sounds like it is not L'chatzchila, but rather it's a Ibidi Evid. We will come back and we will discuss that point later on. We're on the top of Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, and we see, as you can see, we have a lot of Gemara ahead of us, but a lot of it is Psukim. Amach is Kagon. So, examples, meaning the Mishnah says that if contextually the Pasuk is bad, so then you don't include that into your Shemoneh Esrei. So, examples, Amach is Kagon. So, Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Chayaninu, Mashem Elokim, Imlobi Achazakav, Vizor Netiyah, Vechamash Fucha, Emloch Aleichem. All right, chamar chema, with anger I'm going to rule over you. Okay, so that's obviously not good. The context of that is not good. We speak about a Kadosh Baruch Hu in anger, and that's something that we do not want to include in the Shemona Esrei. The Alpha Gav Damar Rav Nachman Kol High Risk Chalir Sach Kucha Brichu Alan Ulifra Kon. So Rav Nachman says, look, I don't really think that pasuk is all bad. In fact, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to get angry, that's fine. Okay, I can handle that. Right? Lirsach Kadosh Baruch Hu, let Kadosh Baruch Hu get angry. Ulifra kunin. And let him redeem us in that anger. Okay, so in other words, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu will do it in somewhat of an anger fashion, but Rav Nachman says, but I can handle that. So Amar Itkari Risicha Barashas Lamatkarinan. So the Gemara says, but still, not appropriate. It's just simply not appropriate that we're going to mention Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is just simply not the time where we want to mention any anger whatsoever of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Pasuk in Yechezkel is off limits. Okay, so one Pasuk in Tanakh, which you should not use for your Shemoneh Esrei. Zichron Kigon Vaiskor Kibasar Hema. Right, remember that they are flesh. So again, in the context of Zichronos, it's not a positive Zikaron, it's not a positive memory. No good. Shofar Kigon Tiku Shofar Begiva. And in terms of Shofar, so Tiku Shofar Begiva, referencing the Yom HaDin, but not in a positive context, so also no good. Aval Imbal Omar Malchu Zichron Veshofar Shel. However, if you want to quote a pasuk in Tanakh that does deal with Peranios, but not Peranios for the Jews, Peranios for the Goyim, so that you can use such a pasuk. Omer Malchus Kagon. That's our Omer. Malchus Kagon, and we have examples. Hashem Malach Yirgazu Amim. Pasuk in Tehillim, Kadosh Baruch Hu gets anger over the nations who subjugate the Jews. Zu Kagon. Hashem Malach Olam Ve'ad Avdo Goyim Me'artso. So again, another pasuk regarding Malchus, where Kadosh Baruch Hu chases out the nations from Canaan. Zichron Kagon Zachor Hashem Levnei Edom. Remember the Bnei Edom and to exact vengeance against them on our behalf. Shofar Kagon Hashem Lokim B'Shofar Yitakav Alach B'Sairos Teman. So another pasuk regarding Shofar, which is Peranios for the Goyim, and that's also acceptable. Uksiv Hashem Tzvakos Yagen Aleihem. Okay, another pasuk which also speaks to this idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to lay out his anger on the goyim. Ein mazkirin zikaron shel yachid ve'afilo tova. Okay, more rules in terms of which pesukim can make candidacy for our Shemoneh Esrei and which pesukim should not be used. Let's say it's a pasuk about zikaron. Let's say it's good, but it's not talking about the community. It's only talking about an individual. The Gemara says that can't be included. Kigon Zachreni Hashem Beratzon Amecha. Gemara quotes one pasuk with Zachreni Loshen Yachid. Remember me. Okay, we daven as a community on Rosh Hashanah, and so pesukim that speak to individuals we cannot use. Zachreli Elokei Latova. So, or now the Gemara quotes another pasuk as well, which again, individual singular, no good. It shouldn't be used. Pigdonos harein kizichronos. Okay, more in terms of what can make it in and what cannot make it in. Let's say it's not the word that it's used. It's not zikaron, but rather pikadon. Pikadon is more or less, or well, not exactly, but more or less the same thing as zikaron, a memory. So kigon vashem pakad etzara. Ukigon pakod pakadeti eschem. Divrei Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi is of the opinion that it works. That if you say, instead of the word zachar, you say the word pakad, it basically means the same, and as a result of that, you could use it. So for example, Vashem pakad et Sarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember Sarah. So that's a pasuk you could use. Now mind you, we just offended the previous rule. Meaning, the previous rule was that you can't mention an individual. Okay, the Gemara later on will ask that question. Right now we're onto a new rule, which is that Pakad and Zachar are the same, at least according to Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda Omer ain't kizachronos. Rav Yehuda says no, it's not the same. Pekida and Zachira are not the same. Now it's I'm very comfortable saying they're not the same. Now ask me to strike the difference between Pekida and Zachira. Okay, good. that's a little bit harder. I'm not sure. I don't know if I could really articulate what the difference is between the two, but on Rosh Hashanah we want Zichronos, they are stronger. I'm not sure how to articulate the difference between the two, but the word Pekida and Zichira are not perfectly synonymous, and therefore Pekida does not make for a Zichronos substitute. Now the Gemara asks the question. Look, according to Rav Yossi, I understand that Pekida and Zechira are synonymous, and Pekida is an acceptable substitute for Zechira, but curious that you quote a pasuk for Hashem Pekada Sarah, when that pasuk has to deal with an individual, and we learned previously that's not good. So the Gemara says, Kevin Dasu Rabbi Mina Karabim Damya. Yeah, but we're talking about Sarah, she's a matriarch. She's a matriarch of the Jewish people, so matriarch's exception. Exception for a matriarch, because she does represent the Jewish people. She's the mother of the Jewish people. Okay. Everyone, put your seatbelt on. Here we go. A nice long brisa coming up right now. The brisa is going to basically be an accounting. Meaning, again, the idea is that on Rosh Hashanah, for every section of Machir, Zichronos, and Shofros, we're going to make 10 psukim, and we're going to have to account. And so here's a braisa that deals with accounting. Okay, and that counts as how many Machios? Okay, you can go back, you can count. I should have prepped everybody before I read the Pesukim. Count the number of Malchus that are there. In fact, let's do that. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me go back, let me do it correctly. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. As I read it again, count it up. Count up how many times Malchus is mentioned. Su'ushar Meshech Medesipis Chalom V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Okay, that's one. Mi'uzem Melech HaKavod, that's two. Hashem Yizuz V'gibor Hashem Gibor Melchama. Su'ushar Meshech Medesipis Chalom V'yavo Melech HaKavod, that's three. Mi'uzem Melech HaKavod, that's four. Hashem Tzvozu Melech HaKavod Sela, that's five. Okay, and if you'd like, you could break it up into two and three. Okay, but in other words, it sounds like it's five, right? Rishon Hashtayim Shnia Shalosh. Div Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says you're correct. Meaning that the first one is two and the second one is three. Rav Yehuda Amar Rishona Achas Shnia Shtayim. No, it doesn't count as two and three, but rather counts as one and two. Any guesses as to why Rav Yehuda says that doesn't count as two and three, but rather as one and two? So if you look back, the answer is self-contained. The Gemara doesn't spell it out. Okay, you just... Huh? It repeats itself, and it's a question. Meaning it's not a statement, it's a question. Right? Mi who's the Melech HaKavod? Who's the king? So that's not a statement of Malchus, that's a presentation of a question, which the Pasuk then immediately answers. But being that that's a question, so yes, you said the word Malchus, but that's not enough. In other words, you have to say Malchus representing the Kadosh Baruch Hu's king, so therefore Rav Yehuda says the way to correctly count that is not two and three, but rather one and two. Let's do this again. Okay, we're going to quote other Pesukim in Tehillim. So this will count obviously as a ksuvim section. Zamer lekim zameru, zamer lamakir zameru. Okay, again this pasuk in Tehillim should sound familiar. We say this parak in Tehillim right before tkiyah shofar. That's our minug. You too or no? Yeah. Okay. Good. So zamer lekim zameru, zamer lamakir zameru ki malach kol haaretz lekim shtayim. So that counts as two different Rav Yossi. So again, Rav Yossi, consistent, Rav Yossi says, look, just the mention of Melech, it counts. And Rav Yehuda Omer, achas. Now Rav Yehuda says, no, that's one. So the Vishavim b'melech alokim al-goyim alokim yashav akisei kashoshi achas. Okay, now here we have agreement that in the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem Zion. So b'melech alokim al-goyim alokim yashav akisei kashoshi, even though it mentions that he's sitting on his throne, but throne is not Malchus. Meaning, the Malchus has to come in the word Malchus. So Zikaron, Shiesh Bo Trua Kagon. What about Zikaron that has Trua inside of it? As an example, the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, Shabbaton Zikron Trua Mikra Kodesh. So we have over here a Pasuk that has both Zikaron and Trua. So now, where can I put it? Meaning again, we have three sections that we have to fill in. We have to fill in the Machio section, the Zichroner section, and the Shofar section. So here I have a pasuk that has actually Zikaron and Trua, which apparently is Shofar as well. So where do I put it? So Omrim is Zichronos, but Omrim is Shofar. See Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi, by the way, he tends to be more makel on all these on these issues. So Rav Yossi says, so well, you could double dip. You could take it and use it for your Zichrono section, and you could take it and use it for your Shofar section as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Omer, Ela Im HaZichronos Bavad. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can only use it for Zichronos. You cannot use it for your Shofars. Rashi says, why not? Again, the Gemara doesn't explain. Rashi says, why not? Because the word that's used in that pasuk is Trua, insufficient. When you are in the section of Shofros, you have to look for psukim in Tanakh with the word shofar. Trua is not going to be enough. Malchus sheyeshim otrua kagon. Okay, here's a pasuk that has both malchus and trua inside. Hashem alakavimo usruas melech bo. Okay, so here, good pasuk in chumash with the word trua and the word melech. So where can it go? So again, everyone's going to be consistent in their position. Omrim amachius for omrim a shofros div Rav Yossi. So again, Rav Yossi says, good, you have a choice. You could put it in machios, you could put it in shofros. Wonderful. Rav Yehuda omr, eno omr, ela im hamachios bilvad. And Rav Yehuda says, no, you can only put it in machios. And again, we'll go back to Rashi and we'll say the same pshat because the word is trua, not shofar, and therefore it can only go with machios. Trua she'ini ma lo klum. Let's say it's true, but it's a standalone. There's no modification, meaning it doesn't say that we're blowing on something. It just simply says that we're true. True is just simply a reference to the blast, not to the object itself. So lo klum. So the Gemara says that doesn't count at all. So kegon yom true yelachem omra im ha-shofros div Rav Yossi. So again, Rav Yossi's mekel, and Rav Yossi says yeah, that can be put in shofar. And Rav Yehuda Omer, Eino Omer Kol Ikar. And Rav Yehuda says, no good. Shofar has to have the word shofar. True is just simply the verb, but shofar is the item itself, and so therefore it has to have the word shofar. Maska b'Torah, umashlim menavi, Rav Yossi Omer, im hishlim b'Torah yatsa. Okay, we're back at the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said that you start with Pesukim and Chumash, you finish with Pesukim and Navi, and if you finish with a pasuk in Chumash, you're a Yotzei. And the Gemara questions the formulation of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, look at the following Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamashlim B'Torah, Erez Meshubach. The Braisa, quoting Rabbi Yossi, says, you cap it off with a pasuk in Chumash, and that's the best way to do it. So obviously the Brice and the Mishnah seem to be at odds with one another. The Mishnah says, B'di'evid, it's okay. You don't have to, and maybe preferable not, but okay. And the Brice, according to Rav Yossi, says, no, that's the best way to do it. Which, by the way, again, if you know, you know that's what we do. Meaning, we for every section, we do three Pesukim of Chumash, three Pesukim of Ksuvim, three Pesukim of Navi, and then we cap off with a Pasuk in the Torah. So, Ema Mashlim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to look back at our Mishnah and we're going to edit the Mishnah. Okay, I don't know if this is an actual editing or reinterpretation of the Mishnah, but either way, and instead the Mishnah is going to read Mashlim, which is instruction. You finish off with the pasuk of Chumash. V'ha'im hishlim di'evinin l'chatzkil alau. Yeah, but that's not what the Mishnah says, and read the Mishnah carefully, and the Mishnah says, im hishlim, if you finish, hachi kamar, maskel b'tara, u'mashlim b'navi, Rav Yossi omer, mashlim b'tara, v'im hishlim b'navi yatsa. So the Gemara says, okay, again, a redaction of the Mishnah, an editing of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that really should be mashlim b'tara. If you are mashlim b'navi, you have fulfilled your obligation, but that's not the best thing to do. Tanya me'achi, amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, v'atikin hayu mashlimim osa b'tara. V'atikin, you're familiar with that term. We usually associate that term with people who daven shacharis at sunrise. They coordinate the beginning of the shacharis with sunrise. That's the Mishnah in Brachos. That the vasikin would daven im hanetzachama. But as we know, the vasikin, the term itself doesn't refer to, again, we use it now euphemistically as, or not right, not euphemistically, but we use it colloquially as davening Shema Esrei at Nates. But that's not what the word means. The word means Vasikin people who are careful and meticulous about the way they perform the halacha. So over here, Vatikin Ayim Hashem Asabatara. So when they would finish each section of Ma'achios, Zichronos, and Shofros, so they would finish with the Pasuk and Chumash, which again we do. So in this regard, we can all call ourselves Vasikin. Bishlam Zichronos and Shofros, Ikatuva, Ela Ma'achios, Las, Hudavyan. So the Gemara says, look, Zichronos Shofros throughout Tanakh, no problem. Problem lies in Machios. Machios is going to be a bit of a problem. In fact, the Gemara here tells us, here are all your choices. Hashem Elokavimo, Usruos Melech Bo, Vayhi Bishurin Melech, Hashem Yeloch Lelam Va'ed. Okay, that's a problem. Meaning in the entirety of Chumash, I guess we could do a search, but I'm pretty confident that the Gemara knows its Chumash inside and out, backwards and forwards, and we can only point to three psukim in Chumash that describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a melech. Which in of itself, by the way, if I asked you, how many times does the Torah describe Hashem as a melech, I would have put the over-under a little bit higher. But there are only three. So, v'ad anan b'ina neser, v'leka. So, amrav huna. Okay, right. I'm sorry, and the demand is of 10, and we're not going to get there. So I'm Rav Huna Tashma, Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Malchus Divrei Rav Yossi. So okay, so we're going to have to be a little creative. So Rav Yossi says, here's the creativity: the Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's a pasuk in Malchus. Doesn't mention Akash Baruch Hu as being the Melech, but being that we're mentioning Akash Baruch Hu as one. But that's not in Chumash.
I know, but that's part of the...
Yeah, but that's not... I mean, it does not... Right, correct. You know the answer. That's not good. So we need a pasuk in Chumash. So Divrei Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein HaMachos. And again, it's fantastically consistent. Meaning Rav Yossi is more generous in these rules of what counts and what doesn't count. And Rav Yehuda is less generous. So Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein HaMachos. V'yadat Hayom V'shevos Elavecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim... Ain Ode. Okay, another pasuk which found in Chumash, which may qualify, right? And it's pretty good, meaning it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem, and there is no other. Okay, the de facto king. Although, again, the problem, of course, is that there's no mention of the word Malchus. So, Malchus, Divrei Rav Yossi. So, again, Rav Yossi says, count it. It'll work. So, Rav Yehuda Omer, Ain Malchus. Okay, we'll try this one more time. But just one more time. Okay? Another pasuk in Chumash. So again, Malchus. Divrei Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, count it. It counts as Malchus. Ain't Ode. There's no one else. And Rav Yehuda Amar Ain't Malchus. Rav Yehuda says, there's no Malchus. So it's funny. But it comes out that according to Rav Yehuda, how many pasukim in Chumash do you have for the section of Malchus? You only have three. So according to Rav Yehuda, now, how many psukim are you going to have in the Machia section? Three for Chumash, three for Navi, three for Ksuvim. You're only going to have a total of nine. Now when you go back to the Gemara that we did yesterday, so now you will understand the Gemara, what the Gemara said yesterday. Do you remember? Yesterday's daf was daf Lamed Beis. I know we're still on it. I'm aware. But yesterday, it's okay. It's one of my issues in life. But if you look back in yesterday's daf, you'll see, just turn back to the previous Amud, so you see the Gemara was asking why mention Malchus, right? La Malchus Lama Umaskir. It's right after the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. Alamid Beis Amud Aleph. Amal Rabbi Kiva, Imeno Tokela Malchus Lama Umaskir. So the Gemara says, Lama Umaskir, Rechman Amma Itzker. The Torah says, mention it. Ela Lama Eser Lema Teisha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not 10, it's only 9. Now, when we read that line of Gemara yesterday, like, what were we talking about? Okay, now we know. Now we get it. Meaning, because according to Rav Yehuda, there is only 3 psukim in Chumash that speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu being a melech, and not just a reference, but actually a mention of the word Malchus. So it comes out that according to Rav Yehuda, there are only going to be 9 psukim in Malchus. So it is different than the section of Zichronos and the section of Shofros, which is why the Gemara entertained, obviously it's not the conclusion, but at least the Gemara entertained the idea that maybe we don't blow shofar in the section of Malchus because it doesn't have 10 psukim. Okay, good. So at least now we can go back and we can understand the line of Gemara, which I read yesterday, and it was like, what was the Gemara talking about? Okay, we're on the Mishnah. We're towards the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we are on the Mishnah of we're on the next Mishnah. Ha'over lefnei ha'teva b'yam tov shel Rosh Hashanah. Okay, yidam for the Amud. Right, over lifnei ateva is always an expression used in the Mishnah to describe somebody who's davening for, we call davening for the Amud. Okay, the Yom Tov Shav Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni Matkia. So the second person is going to be the Matkia. Now, just grammatically, the word Matkia does not mean that he blows shofar, but it means that he causes the shofar to be blown. Okay, the assumption goes as follows. Let me just explain a little bit more to this Mishnah so that we understand what's going on. The assumption is as follows. We have a Baal Shachris and we have a Baal Musaf. Okay, someone, now I know there's Pesukah de Zimra, and, you know, of course we'll thank the person doing Pesukah de Zimra, but, I mean, but in terms of, Phil, it's usually you, but in terms of the way the Mishnah counts, that the Mishnah counts Shachris as one, Mustaf is two. Okay, two different shlich zibors. It's interesting. Does it have to be two? Can it be the same guy doing both? That I don't know. Sounds the way the Mishnah makes it sound like is that you should try for two, one for Shachris, one for Musaf, and then the Mishnah says that the second person should be blowing shofar, meaning the Baal Musaf should be blowing shofar. Now again, let me remind everybody, we have a minhag nowadays that before we start Musaf on Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar. Right? Haftarah is done on Rosh Hashanah, and then what we do is we blow shofar. Okay, and that's our practice. It could be, first of all, the Gemara mentions it not here. The Gemara mentioned it earlier before. The Gemara gave an explanation of Kedela Arve Vesa Satan, right, to confuse Satan. Okay, one of the more mysterious lines that comes up in the Gemara, but when dealing with Rosh Hashanah, so there's a little bit of mystery. So fine. But anyway, but it could very well be that in the that going back to the times of the Mishnah and times of the Gemara, right, they didn't blow shofar before Musaf. And right, it's going to seem pretty clear from our Gemaras right now that really the key time to blow shofar is during Musaf. Now, I'll talk more about it tomorrow, but as I'm sure you know, there are two basic practices. The practice amongst the Sfardim and the practice amongst the Hasidim is to blow shofar actually during Musaf, meaning during your silent Shmona Esrei. So you blow shofar during the Musaf itself. So, and most Ashkenazim have the minhag of blowing shofar during Chazar Sashat, during the repetition of the Amidah. Those are the key times of blowing shofar. And then at one point in time, there was a minhag where we took the blowing of the shofar and we did a section of blowing before Musaf. But if we can, for the time being, ignore that. Forget that. So what comes down now from our Mishnah basically is as follows. The Baal Shachris is not blowing shofar. Okay, no shofar during Shachris, but rather the Sheni, the second person, is going to be blowing shofar. The Gemara later on will ask the question, a very simple question, why Musaf? Huh?
Somebody else.
Now, right, and Phil points out, and it's pretty clear from the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah uses the word matkia. Matkia usually is a causative language, it's a grammar, hit the right hip ill.
Giving the signal.
And right, correct, meaning that he signals somebody else to blow shofar. But the point is, however, is that it's two and not one. The first guy, meaning the Baal Shachris, he's not going to be blowing shofar, but only the Baal Musaf. for reasons which the Gemara will give a reason, and we'll give another reason as well. Okay, Uvishasa Halo.
What would you blow in the Shachar?
You blow it during Shemoneh Esrei.
You don't blow the Shachar.
Well, I understand we don't. That's the point of the Mishnah. But Phil's asking, when would we blow? So maybe if we were to blow Shachar, so then we'll go back again. There's a lot of assumptions that were made. In other words, we assume there's no Machias, Zichronos, and Shofar and Shachar. Right, because it's a function of blowing Shofar. So if we were to blow Shofar and Shachar, and then we would just simply take them and put them in Shachar. Okay. So the Uvishasa Halal, Harisha Makrisa Halal. Now, when it comes to Halal, now, mind you, we don't say Halal on Rosh Hashanah. That's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is on a day where we do say Halal, like, let's say, regular Yontif. So, the first one is going to be saying Halal. Meaning, don't let Halal linger for the second one, meaning the Baal Musaf. But rather, the Baal Shachar should say Halal. And of course, that's as we know, that's our Minug. Right, that after immediately after Shachris, so the Baal Shachris gets up there and he davens and he says Halal immediately after Shachris. So Maishna Sheni Matkia Mishum Debrav Amajos Melech. So this is if you want to point to a Gemara where you want to substantiate the minhag of people coming late to shul, meaning we shouldn't come late to shul. Okay, that's in other words, davening is important, and the way we show that's important is coming on time. Okay, and the Musar is for me. And I'm not saying it out of modesty. I mean it. But the but if you would like to see a Gemara that speaks to the idea that people come late to shul, so right here. Okay. So in other words, why is it that that shofar blowing is pushed off to later? Rav Amadras Melech. Because to do something in the multitude, meaning to do a mitzvah in a group environment, that is more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we push off the blowing of the shofar because better.
More people, it's better.
So the Gemara says, okay, halal. Halal is a mitzvah. So why don't we push off halal? Say halal later in the morning. Rav Amajos Melech is better. So Ella Maishna Halal Debrishon Mishum Dezrizim Akdim Mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because halal is a mitzvah, and we have another rule. And the other rule is Zrizin Makdim Mitzvahs, that people who like doing mitzvahs, so they'll do it as quickly as possible. That group of people who like doing mitzvahs, that should be all of us. So, Zrizin, Makdim al-Mitzvah. So therefore, we should say the Halal and the Shachris, and not push it off to Musaf. But then, of course, that begs the question, which the Gemara is going to ask. T'kiya namini avid b'risha, mishum de Zrizin, Makdim al-Mitzvahs. So then, Shofar is also a mitzvah. When is the mitzvah of Shofar in Rosh Hashanah? The day of Rosh Hashanah. You have the entirety of the day to do the mitzvah. When should you do the mitzvah? The first earliest opportunity. Zrizim Makdim al-Mitzvahs. So Shofar should really fundamentally be in Shachris, not in Musaf. Good question. Am Rabbi Yochanan b'shas gzeres ha-machushanu. And the Gemara gives a very short, punctuated, cryptic answer in terms of why it is that we don't blow Shofar in Shachris, but rather we push it off to Musaf. The words of the Gemara is, Rabbi Yochanan gives the answer, gzeres ha-machushanu. It was taught during Gzeres HaMachus. What does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Gzeres HaMachus Shanu, Oivim Gazru Shalai Yitku'u. The enemies made a decree that we should not blow Shofar Vayu, Orvin Lahem Kol Sheishos, Laketz Tfil HaShachris Lakach Ha'evirua Litko B'Musafim. And what they would do is they would wait in the morning, meaning they knew services were in the morning. So they wait in the morning and shul, and they would wait, and they would wait, and they would wait. And finally, when they saw that the morning came and went and we didn't blow shofar, so then they went away. And once they went away, so then we blew shofar. And because of that, the blowing of the shofar got moved out, got pushed into Musaf. So, the way Rashi's presenting it, really we should blow shofar in the morning. Shachris is when we should blow shofar. The rule is Zrizim Makdim LaMitzvos. But because of a historical context and a historical explanation, so therefore got pushed off to Musaf. It only begs the question, once there's no longer Gzera, so then we should take the blowing of the shofar and we should move it back to Shacharis. Right? It's a reasonable question. Let's take a look at... I don't know if it's a formal right. I don't know, right. I was going to say like Phil. I don't know if this is a formal gzera. Let's take a look at Tosos together. Tosos, only Tosos on the Amud. Shaz gzera samachos anav afa pishabat la gzera samachos la avdina kid demi yikara. So Tosfos over here acknowledges that, yeah, I hear you, meaning maybe it should be moved back, but Tosfos says we're not going to move it back. So Gedimikara Afagav Dizriza Makdim La Mitzvos, the Chashin and Chemayach the Davla Kil Kulo. So Tosfos says, look, we don't want to anticipate misfortune, but let's be realistic, let's know a little bit of our Jewish history, and it could come back again. So therefore we're going to keep it at Musaf and for just in case. There's going to be future gzeiros. So it's kept at Musaf. Okay, so Tosfos, right, hard to really understand his answer, but at least he acknowledges the fact that, yeah, fundamentally, he should be moved back to Shachris, but what can I say? It's we keep it where it is. Well, the Perusha Yerushalmi, I'm going and continuing Tosfos. Well, the Perusha Yerushalmi, Nichatfe, Demefaresh, Sham, Shedamo, Ivim, Shinesas, Velitkotruas, Melchama. So the Yerushalmi gives a somewhat different explanation. Not the one that Rashi gives. And according to the Yerushalmi, basically what happens is as follows. Right, we blew the shofar early in the morning on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Blowing of the shofar is a call to arms. Right, Yericho, we just saw it a couple days ago. Right, what we do is we blow shofar, and it's a call to arms. And what happened was, V'amdu aleihem v'hargum. So we're blowing shofar early in the morning, call to arms. And so therefore, it became antagonistic. But once we move it to Musaf, they understood that this was a religious activity. It wasn't a call to arms. Okay, so that's the Yerushalmi. It's a little bit different than Rashi, and it does better explain why it is that we don't move it back to Shacharis. Okay, because we want to make sure that when the goyim hear the blowing of the shofar, they understand that it's a religious act and not a political statement. Okay, that's Tosfos. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he brings another reason why it is that we don't blow shofar in Shacharis. Not mentioned in the Gemara. He obviously quotes. I don't remember. Should have looked it up before. I don't remember he quotes, and that is the following: that Rosh Hashanah obviously is the Yom Hadin. And the strongest part of the din is in the early morning, and so therefore another explanation, another reason why we take shofar and we push it off, not in the early morning, but we push it off, is because we want to wait till the harshest part of the din comes and goes, which is the early morning of Rosh Hashanah, and so that's another reason why, another suggestion why we delay the blowing of the shofar into the later portion of the morning, into the area of the midday, and again, even those reason makdim la mitzvahs. Okay.
So the musaf was a shachris.
Yeah, in other words, right. Yeah, in other words, they would take the, like I said, they would take machir zichron shofar, and they would, and they put in shachris. Yeah. I mentioned, it doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnayos that machir zichron shofar is musaf. No, it doesn't say that, yeah. That's a Gemara's explanation. No, that was just a Gemara's explanation why we have the practice of blowing shofar before Musaf. But again, the fundamental blowing of shofar is during Musaf. Okay, again, most. Let's say half do it during the silent and half do it during. Actually, you do it during both. You do it during silent and during the repetition. Okay, we do it during repetition. Okay, anyway, let's continue. Lamed Beis Amed Beis, we're still over towards the bottom at the two dots. Now, no Halam Rosh Hashanah. We know that, but it begs the question, well, why not? My time. Why is there no Halah on Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, Rosh Hashanah qualifies as a Halal day. You remember your Gemara in Erechin? It's been some time ago. But it does qualify, Rosh Hashanah should qualify as a Halal day. What qualification do you need? It has to be a yantiv. It has to be a prohibition of doing malacha. There has to be karbanos. Basically, Rosh Hashanah qualifies. So really, fundamentally, we should be saying halal Rosh Hashanah, and we don't. And why not? So the Gemara says, the same Gemara in Erechin, the Gemara over here repeats, Am Rabbi Abau, Amr Malach, Eshar Sefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mimnei Ma'in Yisrael Omrim, Shira Lefanecha, Rosh Hashanah, Uvi Yom HaKippurim. So why don't the Jewish people, the angels are asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, why don't the Jewish people say Shira on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? They should be. Am lam efshar melech yoshev akisei din v'sifrei chayim v'sifrei meisim pesuchim lefanav v'yisrael omrim Shira. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's not appropriate. Meaning, yes, the day itself qualifies as a holiday, but it's a Yom HaDin. I'm judging, and there's Ema, there's Pachad, and so Halal is joy, and the two themes don't work together, and so therefore it's just not an appropriate day to say Halal. Next Mishnah, Shofar Shofar Rosh Hashanah, Ein Ma'avir Nalav Esat Chom. Okay, we can blow Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, but we cannot violate Isurei Yontav to go and blow that Shofar. Okay, meaning, again, the blowing of the Shofar itself is not a malacha. Right? Remember we mentioned that earlier? So, but if for whatever reason you have to violate Yontav in order to blow the shofar, no, you don't violate Yontav. Right? The ends do not justify the means. So shofar shofar Rosh Hashanah in Marvin Olav is a tchom. You can't go beyond tchom. Meaning, if Rashi says if you need to go beyond tchom in order to hear a shofar, that you can't do.
I said the right doesn't.
Gemara is going to ask you. The Gemara is going to ask you a question. Excellent. The aim of fachin Olav is a gal, and you can't remove rubble. Lo olin be ilan velo ruch v'nagabe behema. You can't go up in a tree and you can't ride on the back of an animal. Now, as we'll learn later on, if you remember, some of these are isur deraisa, some of these are isur derabanan. But again, you can't violate isurim, even though you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. Velo shatan al pnei hamayim. You can't swim in the water. Vein chotchen osa bein bedavishu mishum shvus uvein bedavishu mishum lo sase. You can't cut it. Meaning, let's say you need to cut in order to blow it. So you can't cut it, not with something which would be an issa deraisa, not with something which would be an issa derabanan. Avali marsal itain lasochamayim oyayin yitain. Now you want to rinse it out with some water, with some wine, so that you're allowed to do. Okay, somebody told me I recommended vodka,
vinegar.
Oh, okay, fine. I did vodka. Okay. Yeah, correct. I know. I saw that coming. So anyway, Ain ma'akvin. So, but that, in other words, rinsing it out, you can do. Rinse it out with water. Rinse it out with wine. That you can do. Ain ma'akvin is the tinokas matkoa. So you show your kids running around the house blowing the shofar. Okay, been there, done that. So that, so the Mishnah says that's fine. Allow it. And you should even encourage it. Meaning, right? They're going to end up learning blowing shofar anyway. I know most of us don't know how to blow, but they're going to. In other words, you want to promote it, so you should actually engender that kind of behavior. However, if you're misasik, meaning you are blowing absentmindedly, so you haven't fulfilled your obligation. The person blowing shofar has no intention whatsoever of blasting out tekiya, shvarim, trua, tekiya, all the sounds which we're going to explain tomorrow. So so he's just blowing it, and it happens to be that it all came out good. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. My time, shofar esehu v'yomtav esev lo saseh v'aseh doches lo saseh v'aseh. So Ben, without the Gemara actually formulating a question, the Gemara is just basically a response to your question, and the Gemara says you can't do it. The mitzvah of shofar is a mitzvah saseh. It's a positive commandment. Yom tov is also a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. Right? The Torah, when describing yom tov, says shabbaton, which means that you must positively stop doing work. I know that's an oxymoron, but that's a mitzvah saseh, and it's obviously lo saseh malacha. The Torah says not to do malacha on yom tov. So therefore, what are we looking at over here? The positive commandment of shofar against the positive commandment and the negative prohibition of yantiv. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the done. Right? And again, it's right, you take emotion out of the entire discussion, meaning shofar, davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, beseeching. Okay, all that's good, but when all said and done, it's an ase versus an ase and a los ase, yantiv all went out. So the Gemara says, look, the Mishnah, the structure of the Mishnah is a little bit strange. The Mishnah says you can't violate Isuri Darabanan and not even Isuri Daraisa. Well, what do you mean? The logic would dictate that if I can't violate Isuri Darabanan, so of course I can't violate Isuri Daraisa. What would be even, why is the Mishnah going in that direction? So, it's a style. Sometimes stylistically, the Mishnah tells us what would be the bigger chiddush, and then afterwards the Mishnah tells us the lesser of the Chiddush. Ein chot chenoso daf lamed gimel. Today's daf ein chot chenoso bein bedav shu mishum shavus ubein bedav shu mishum lo sa'asei. You can't cut your shofar with something which would be an issur derabanan and an issur deraisa. What would be the difference? So mishum shavus magla. So the Gemara says an issur derabanan would be a magla. Magla would translate like a sickle. It is an unusual manner, explains Rashi, to cut a shofar with a sickle. So this is a shinui. So you're not violating malacha d'araisa, but it's still rabbinically prohibited to do so, and therefore you cannot do that. And what would be a losase? Sakina, a knife. And the Gemara just reiterates the same question. Hashem mishum shvus amar lo sase mi baye zuvein sarach lomar zuketani. And again, the Gemara gives the same answer. That stylistically, that's how sometimes the Mishnah operates. It tells us the bigger chiddush, and then tells us the smaller chiddush. Aval im rasal yitain latocho mayim oyayin yitain. Now I quipped about vodka, but this next one is going to surprise you. Mayim oyayin in meraglayim lo. Okay, don't allow urine to go through. Now urine happens to be an excellent cleansing agent, but the Gemara says that that's not appropriate. Masnisa mani abashalhu ditanya abashal omer mayim o yayin mutter kedelet sakhtsecho miraglayim asr mimnei hakavot. Theoretically, urine would be great, but it's a lack of kavod. It's not honorific to take something which is a dvar mitzvah like the shofar and to have urine go through it. And furthermore, you tell the Baal Tokeya how you cleaned it, and let's see how excited he would be to blow it. But more fundamentally than that, I mean, that's a quip, but more fundamentally, it's just not covered. It's a dvar mitzvah, and that's not the way to treat a dvar mitzvah. Now, a woman picks up a shofar and she blows, and it sounds like from the Mishnah, you should tell her to stop, meaning she should not blow. So, children are encouraged, but women are discouraged. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say that, but if you read the Mishnah carefully, that's an inference that comes out of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, now that inference is fine, but Hatanya, I have another brisa. Ein ma'akvin lo osa nashim v'lo osa tinokas m'letko b'yom tov. Women want to blow shofar on Yom Tov, so on Yom Tov meaning Rosh Hashanah, so you don't have to discourage it. You can encourage it. Now again, let's go back to the point the Gemara made earlier, just a couple days ago. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. Right, that's clear. It's a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. It's a time about mitzvah. Women are not obligated. Women can hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and as I mentioned a couple days ago, there's a minhag kavua. There's a old minhag where women hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even though they're not obligated. But again, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, right? Shofar is a form of tefillah. So there's a minhag kavua that women hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the... But that's not our discussion. Our discussion over here is, can you encourage, if they pick up a shofar and they blow it, can you encourage that kind of behavior? Our Mishnah seems to say no. The Braisa seems to say yes. I'm Rabbi Lokasha, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. So Abaye says this is not a problem, in that these two, the Mishnah and the Braisa, represent two positions regarding women and positive commandment, positive time-bound commandments. Darbel b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael samchem, v'im b'nos Yisrael samchem. The mitzvah of smicha, what is the mitzvah of smicha? Taking your hands, leaning it on the karban, and applying your weight on the karban, prior to the karban being offered. That's a mitzvah of smicha. So that is a mitzvah incumbent on men, not on women. Okay? In other words, the women are not obligated in this mitzvah of smicha. Can they do the mitzvah of smicha? Subject to a debate. Div Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, women not only are exempt from the mitzvah, are precluded from the mitzvah. And Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon omrim nashim samchas rishos. And Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda say that if women want to do smicha, they have the option in doing so. And so therefore the same thing with the shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Meaning our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says... thank you. That's thank you. You are correct. Our Mishnah represents the position of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says that women are not only exempt from the mitzvah of shofar, but precluded from the mitzvah of shofar, and therefore they should be, if they pick up a shofar and blow, you should discourage and say no. But the braisa that says that women pick up a shofar, and you don't need to discourage that kind of behavior, so that would be going like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that women can opt in to time-bound mitzvahs positive time about mitzvahs. Mitzvah says Shazman Grama. Classic discussion, and here Tosos has it again. Tosos has this discussion a number of times in Shas, and Daf Lam and Gimel and Rosh Hashanah is another place where he has a discussion, and that is that when women do a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do, but they like to opt in to do the mitzvah, do they make a bracha? This is a major discussion, this is a major debate amongst the Rishonim. Tosos takes the position that they should make a bracha, meaning they are not obligated, but once they opt in, so then they make a bracha. Even though, you understand, the problem with that is, think about what we're saying when we say the bracha. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav, vitzivanu, you commanded us. So that's not, if you're a woman, that's not accurate. You didn't command us to do it. You allow me to do it, but you didn't command me to do it. So the Rambam's position is that when women do mitzvos that they're not obligated to do, a woman sits in a sukkah, she doesn't make a bracha. A woman takes lulav and esrog. So again, she can opt in, but she doesn't make a bracha. The Rambam's position is women don't make a bracha. The practice amongst the Sephardim is that women don't make a bracha. The Ashkenazim, however, are of the opinion that women do make a bracha. That is based on this Tosos right here on this Amud. You'll see it inside. Obviously, we're not going to go through it, where Tosos argues that women do make a bracha. Let's continue. We have a little bit more to go.
What?
Huh?
Can they just omit the word with Sivona?
No. So no, they make a bracha. No. No, the Nusach is a Nusach.
So would Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi say that women can put on tefillin also based on that?
Correct. Tosos discusses that as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and you think I'd like to get involved in that discussion?
No,
okay, whatever. Okay. Tosos, let's move on. But if you'd like to know, Tosos discusses that as well. Avamis Askin Bahem Ad Sheyomadu. I'm Rabbi Lazar Filip Shabbos. Encourage this behavior of blowing shofar, and even if it's on Shabbos, meaning even if it's Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Now remember, Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, what's our position about blowing shofar? You go back to the beginning of the fourth perek, and you'll remember that the blowing of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is sometimes okay. You need a Beis Din. You need a specific Beis Din. Okay, in other words, right. Under circumstances, it's okay. But this idea that we want to encourage the young men to blow shofar, right, the boys to blow shofar, so even if it's Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, that's fine. Let them blow. I feel b'Shabbos. Tanya ha'meach misaskim mehem. Achiyum adu. I feel b'Shabbos. Vein makvin atinokis melitkoa. B'Shabbos. Vein sarach lomar b'yantav. So Shabbos, you can allow them to do that. Yontav, you can allow him to do it. Now, Hagufakashim, Amar mitaskin behem ashiomadu vafil b'shabbos. Now, the word mitaskin means you encourage them to do it. Amalechatzchila minatiku. So it sounds like that you tell your kids, you know, today's Rosh Hashanah, here's a shofar, knock yourself out. Well, let's go, come on. Give it your best shot. And then, Tana, ein ma'akvin. But then, if you read the next part of the Braisa, carefully it says, ein ma'akvin. Which means that you don't have to stop them from doing the behavior. That's a little bit different than encouraging. Just simply means, right, you don't have to take it away from them. So, ikuva de la mikvina halechetzchila lo. I'm sorry, lo aminatiku. So, we're a little bit confused only over the fact of, which way do I go? Do I encourage or do I not discourage? What's the correct attitude of children and shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Lo kasha, kan bekanchi. Yelechinach kan bekanchi lo yelechinach. So the Gemara says, no problem. The katan, the minor who has arrived at the age of chinuch, meaning when the child is cognitively aware, okay, and not going to give out a number because every child is different. So different developmental ages of children. So, but when the child becomes cognitively aware and understands that there's a mitzvah to blow shofar, so then encouragement. Give him the shofar. Tell him to, like, you know, go for it. Knock yourself out. But then when the child is little and he's not there's no chinuch age and there's no mitzvah of chinuch, so then don't encourage, but if he picks up a shofar and he starts blowing, you don't have to take it away from him. All right, I know we're almost at the Mishnah. We'll pause over here. I'm already in overtime. We'll pause over here. We'll finish up to the Mishnah and tomorrow. Some of the basic discussions we're going to have tomorrow. True, I mean, I know it's only a blot and a half left in the in the Masechta. Trua, Shvarim, what's Trua? What's Shvarim? Length of Trua, length of Shvarim. Right? I know it's like the end of the Masechta, but all the details regarding how to blow the shofar. That's coming up in tomorrow's daf.